Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 14. I read for you again these words of our Lord. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. You've heard the proverb, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Perhaps that's why pride is usually the first of the seven deadly sins. But it is for that very reason as well that it is good for us to hear what Jesus says today. After all, pride is ugly. No two ways about it. Pride boasts of itself, even as it usually looks down on others and keeps us from showing mercy. Pride makes me the measure of all things and despises all who don't live up to my standards. Pride separates me from others, and worse, it separates me from God. That's why we must not think of pride as someone else's sin, but as our own. That's why we must learn to listen to Jesus and learn from him so that we may repent and be healed of our pride. Now, one of the ways pride rears its ugly head is that it prevents one from receiving Jesus and listening to him. We see that as Jesus sits at Sabbath brunch in the home of the Pharisee. While there, a man with dropsy comes before him. This man suffered from an affliction which we know better as edema. It's a swelling caused by the accumulation of excess water in some parts of the body. It's usually the result of a heart or a kidney problem. It's often quite painful, and if not treated, can lead to a horrible death. So we would naturally expect that Jesus would heal this man. But he's dining in the home of a Pharisee, a ruler of the people, and it's the Sabbath. Everybody else was watching Jesus closely to see what he would do. After all, no work was to be done on the Sabbath. So if Jesus healed the man, he would be accused of breaking the Sabbath. If he did not heal the man, he would be thought to be unable to do so, or at least be considered unmerciful. Either way, Jesus would be in the wrong. So Jesus turns the table on them, as he often did, and asks if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not. If they said, yes, it is lawful, which it is, then they would have nothing to accuse Jesus of if he healed the man. If they said no, then their own hypocrisy and lovelessness would be revealed. So, in their prideful cowardice, they said nothing. They refused to answer. And once Jesus healed the man, he asked them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And now, all these other folks are caught in their own prideful hypocrisy. Because, of course, they all would pull them out. And they wouldn't think for a moment that they were violating the Sabbath. So while Jesus teaches that it's always good and right to show mercy, even on the Sabbath, he also gives an object lesson on pride. For the Pharisees also suffered from a dropsy of sorts. That is, they suffered from a swelling of pride. And so do we. You see, pride is the first and chief sin, and it flows from unbelief. It's the thinking of oneself as superior above all others. So it was with Satan, who thought he could do a better job governing God's creation than God himself. And it was the problem with Adam and Eve as they sought to be like God and make themselves more than they were. David's adultery with Bathsheba also has its roots in pride. "I'm the king," David said. "I can have anything I want." And of course, there was the pride of those who built the Tower of Babel. Those who wanted to make a name for themselves. Yes, pride is often like that. Boastful and presumptuous. It leads us to think more highly of ourselves and less of others than we ought. It leads us to seek to please only ourselves. It leads us to look for and dwell on other people's mistakes and sins. But pride also exhibits itself in haughty silence. This is the mask pride wears when it's exposed. So Adam hides behind a tree when God comes looking for him. And the Pharisees, whom Jesus corners at this dinner party, are likewise silent. For what can they say? They know they are in the wrong. They know that what is godly, and that it is good and godly to heal on the Sabbath. They knew. If one of their animals or a son fell into a pit on the day of rest, they would surely go after it and bring it to safety. But they do not want Jesus to be right. They don't want to admit that they are wrong. And so they sit there silent and staring, too proud to repent, yet knowing that they have been put in the wrong. And again, we're no better. Our pride is every bit as damnable as that of the Pharisees. We think that we are good, pious people. We often think that we are better than others. We despise pride when it's exhibited in someone else, but especially so when their pride impinges on our own. And so we also watch others closely to catch them in some wrong, whether real or perceived. We never want to admit that we're wrong, even if we are. We usually don't want to admit that somebody else is right either. Our pride keeps us from true repentance by keeping silent to hide our guilt. Repent, beloved. Repent. Don't you see how foolish the poor old Pharisee was and how he looks? There they sit, arms crossed, brow furrowed, gaze set straight ahead. They are every bit the picture of stubborn pride, the sort best displayed by a pouting 4-year-old. And so that's how Jesus treats them. Like any good father, Jesus tries to get them out of their pouting by trying to get them to laugh at themselves. He's seen them jockeying for position at the table. And so he tells them a parable. When you're going to a party, he says, don't aim at the high seat. Be shrewd. The best way to make yourself look good is to aim so low that the host comes and moves you up. And then everyone will be really impressed. Be prideful by pretending to be humble. That's the way to do it. If the first are last and the last first, then make it a race to see who can get to the back of the line. Do you see how well our Lord knows the human heart? Even our acts of humility are designed to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others. Who will heal us of our dropsy? Who shall save us from our foolish pride? Look to Jesus, dear friends. Look to His words again and again, and you will find the answer that He has tucked away for us. That little word of salvation just for you. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Did you catch that? Everyone who exalts himself. Everyone. Many people. All men exalt themselves, including each of us. And even in their supposed humility, they jockey for position. Or they invite only those who can repay them with a reciprocal invitation. But there is one, and one alone, who truly humbles himself. There's only one man who ever really reached down and emptied himself for others. Thus we see in Jesus what true humility really is and how it expresses itself. St. Paul put it this way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, beloved, Jesus has humbled himself to death for your sake. What you could not do, he has done. He made himself nothing so that you might become everything. You are his dearest treasure, the treasure the Lord came to seek. He bought you with his humility, with his blood, with his suffering, with his death. And when even all that could not hold him down and he was raised up from the grave, he brought you with him. You see, your pride was too small. You wanted glory and honor among men, to be loved by your friends and family and feared by your enemies. But God wants so much more for you. He wants you to be loved by himself and honored in the company of the saints and angels. And so he raises you up with Christ. He baptizes you and makes you an heir of eternal life. And he invites you to dinner, a banquet. You, who cannot ever pay him back, he invites you to simply be his guests and celebrate his gifts. So do you see how foolish and small human pride is? How can it possibly compare with the riches that God showers upon you? You are his honored guest, and you are the bride at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. You are God's beloved. You are forgiven, free, lifted up, and exalted. Because Jesus has given you all this by grace. So count every earthly pride, gain, riches, and honor as nothing. For they are nothing compared with what you already have, and even more, what you will have for all eternity, the love and honor of God himself. To him be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.